There are only a handful of experts that I trust in the podcasting space, and I've got one of them in the studio with me today, Adam Adams from the Podcast on Podcasting. And in this episode, we're going to talk about what it actually means to market a podcast and the steps that you can take to start getting your listeners more engaged with your show, especially on social media. Welcome to Insider Secrets to a Top 100 Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Elmer. Let's make your business binge-worthy. I think we'd both agree that one of the biggest reasons so many podcasters struggle is because they don't understand how to market a podcast effectively. So let's start there. Clear up some of these common misconceptions for us. What does it actually mean to market a podcast?
Yeah, you've got your vehicle. That's your podcast. That's your thought leadership platform. And you've got your destination. Let's just say I'm going from Denver to Salt Lake. We were talking about that in the green room. Denver to Salt Lake. I know where I'm going. What else do I need? I've got the vehicle. I've got the destination. There is only one thing I need. I need fuel. I need to put some gas in the tank. If I don't put gas in the tank, do I still have a car? Yeah. Do I still have a destination? Yeah. But am I going to get anywhere? Probably not. And so when we think about our podcast being the vehicle and success in our business, hopefully being the destination, the thing that we have to do is we have to market the podcast. We have to get in front of people, because if you're going to start a podcast, you're starting it for one of two reasons. Now, you can get all altruistic if you want. Maybe you think that there's more than two reasons, but the two main things that happen, or that you're looking to have happen, is that you want to make an impact and you want to make an income. If you want to make an impact, that means you have to have listeners. You have to have people on the other end. You can't just have your own podcast that's a journal that only you listen to. You have to have a lot of people checking it out, and the more, the merrier. An average podcast has less than 100 downloads per episode. The top 10% of podcasts only have 300 downloads per episode. So your listener, when they start a podcast, they probably want to be even higher than that. They probably want to get in the top 1%, where at least 3,500 people are checking you out. And the only way to do that is to put marketing. This can be organic and or paid. The marketing is the piece that's going to get you in front of the people so that you can make an impact on them. The marketing is the thing that's going to get you in front of the people so that you can make an income through your podcast and through your business.
Yeah, I'd like to break this down too, Adam, because a lot of people get into podcasting and they think, well, the podcast is the marketing, because if my content is good enough, well, then people are just going to find it and they're going to listen and it's going to pick up steam and it's going to grow. And then they're dismayed to find after, 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks into this thing that it's not growing. They're getting 10, 15 downloads per episode. They're putting in a lot of time and energy and effort and heart into what they're doing. And this is why most of them quit. I mean, most don't even make it past a year. But why does that happen? And is it because they went into it without a plan, kind of thinking, okay, the podcast is going to be my marketing tool, not realizing that there's a little bit more that we need to do in order to get that podcast in front of listeners?
I don't think that calling the podcast the marketing tool is the best way to use those words. I don't think that we can say that our podcast is the marketing tool. I think we market to get people to listen to the podcast so that we can add value to them so that they can hire us. So the podcast is more of how do we stay in front of our right person. For those people who want to start a YouTube channel, there are 60 million YouTube channels. There's a lot of competition. And the person who's consuming the content has a lower net worth than the listener of podcasts. When you're on YouTube and you're consuming one piece of content of yours, and you have a average listener base or a follower on YouTube, here's the problem. The platform is going to put you in front of other people who have stronger content than you. You're average, and these guys are top 0.5% in the world. And the platform, instead of saying, here's the next episode for this person on YouTube, they say, here's all these other things that you should listen to instead of this. When you're on podcast, when they listen to that episode, they're probably going to listen to the next episode. And in fact, 80% of your listeners listen to all or most of your episodes, unlike on YouTube where they can only check you out once. So it's not the marketing tool. It's the tool to stay in front of your right person with the high net worth, to be able to add value to them continuously so that they can know you, like you, and trust you. But the marketing tool is a marketing tool. It's going to be Facebook ads. It's going to be social media. It's going to be TikTok. It's going to be you hosting events. It's going to be you doing a private message campaign, getting in front of your right person, talking to people, letting them know that you have a podcast. Because you said something a few minutes ago. When we start a podcast, most of us, and I'm included, when we first start our very first podcast, we assume that the podcast playing platform is going to be like, this is awesome. Adam Adams just launched his podcast. All right, everybody get ready. We're going to put him in front of everybody. Make sure that he's going to get millions of followers, millions of downloads, because this guy is just awesome. Because we're just going to get there. And the platform's going to say, okay, well, 90% of people quit. So let's just see what happens. If they don't get any traction on their own, we'll just let it be. But if you start to get traction, especially in the first few weeks, 8 weeks of launching a podcast, if you can do the right things to get there, then the platform says, whoa, I guess Adam is something special. I guess Courtney is something special. I bet your listener is something special who has a podcast. Now that they're already getting traction, let's split test them and start putting them in front of people and see if they continue to get traction. And if they do, then we'll put them in front of even more people. So what you've done is you've triggered an algorithm. There's a movie that I watched when I was young. It was called Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. It's like this whisper, if you build it, they will come. And I believed that when I started my podcast. And the movie's just not what you think it is. You still need the gas. You still need the marketing. You don't just simply have a podcast and now you're famous and rich.
Thank you for breaking this down. It's so true. And I think this is a big misconception in the industry. People aren't talking about this as transparently as they could be, that, yeah, we also have to do the work of creating the buzz for our show. And that takes marketing. Think of Netflix. You know, Netflix is not going to drop another season. I know Stranger Things is over, but that was the first thing that came to mind. You know, they wouldn't drop another season of Stranger Things without marketing it. Or even better, thinking back to when they first brought Stranger Things to market, had they not created their own buzz around that, it probably wouldn't have gained the popularity that it did. And so we as the hosts have to create our own buzz. So Adam, I'd love for you to break us down. How do we do that? Do you have a specific approach that you take or that you teach your clients for doing that? And if so, what does it look like?
Yeah, how to create the buzz. I will give my best things, especially when you're first launching a podcast, because there's some things you can do to trigger algorithms. First and foremost, we should have something called a pre-launch. There's this guy, his name is Jeff Walker. And he has a great book that I want to recommend to your listener in case they want to be better at a pre-launch for if they're going to do a business or a podcast or anything else, even a not-for-profit. Read that book. It's called Pre-Launch. And what he talks about is getting people behind your podcast in the beginning. So here's an example of one thing you can do. One is with your social media. You can make two posts that I recommend to every single client of ours that starts a brand new podcast. Two different posts. The first of the two, and this goes even if you already know what you want to call your podcast. So write that down. Adam's telling me, even if I already know what I want to call the podcast, I should make this post. Because it's going to be confusing to you if you don't write that down first. You go in and you say, hey, I did a crazy thing. So I always call these social media posts, there's three pieces: hook, story, offer. Hook, story, offer. So in the beginning, you hook your audience and you say something like, I'm doing something crazy. I never thought that I would do this before. I'm launching a podcast, but I need your help. Okay. That's how you start it. That's your hook, but I need your help. And then you say, I'm trying to attract people that are wanting to have insert your thing. You insert that part. This is the story. I'm trying to start a podcast, or I've decided to start a podcast. My perfect listener is fill in the blank. And then you go to the offer. The offer, or the CTA, or call to action, is a little emoji pointing down. And it says, let me know in the comments what you think. So you'll give them the four different ideas or three different ideas that you had. So let's just say you wanted to call it the podcast on podcasting. You already knew that, but you still got to come up with two more ideas. So then you might say how to grow your show. And you might have a third option that's podcasting 101. And so you'll insert those three ideas or four ideas, and then you'll let them know, this is who I'm trying to attract. What title do you think is going to be best? Let me know in the comments below. Why don't you say, DM me? There's a real reason why we're using social media for these posts, and it goes a lot further than you think. We want to trigger algorithms, not just in the podcast playing platform that we've already kind of discussed. We want to trigger algorithms within the social media platform. So if we're on Facebook, for example, Facebook has a fiduciary responsibility to their investors to keep people on the platform. And so instead of you giving links to jump away from the platform, you will keep people on the platform. Another thing is, instead of just telling people things where they can just keep scrolling past you, they consumed the information, they didn't need to do anything about it, and they go to the next one. You're asking a question. And next is, because you're asking for engagement on the post by a little emoji pointing down and you asking which one is best, then what's going to end up happening is the social media platform is going to say, hey, when Courtney made this post, her friend started checking it out. Interesting tidbit here. Your Facebook following, they don't all see your post. I know you're going to cry about it. You're going to be surprised. You're going to think that everybody does. But really, ultimately, what ends up happening is they've always been split testing you against everybody else. And you usually only have about 10 people that get to see your post in the very beginning. And if one or two people engage with that post because you've asked for engagement, then it's going to trigger an algorithm that they put you in front of 100 people. And if 10 more people engage, they put you in front of 1,000 people, or however many you have following you. The social media platform really wants to keep people on their place. And so they will only push your stuff in front of other people if it's starting to get traction. And so you got to do a few things like emojis, asking questions, hook story offer, to be able to get that post to work. And now you start having people offering their feedback. And this goes to Jeff Walker's book. There's something that is called creating a movement. If you just have a podcast, it's worthless. If you have a number of people that follow you that feel like they're part of your podcast, they feel like your podcast is important. They feel like they added value to your podcast because they gave their opinion. And humans cannot resist giving an opinion. That's why this post works so well. Once they feel like they've added that value to you, they're going to be following your podcast more. And more people will even know that you have a podcast because you've triggered social media algorithms. That's the first post. And in short, the second post is, when you get some artwork, you say, thank you for your help, but I need one more favor. That could be the headline of the hook story offer of post number two. Thank you for your help, but I need one more favor. After your feedback, we selected the podcast on podcasting as the title of the show. And I've got four different options that my team came up with for podcast artwork. I've got four different options here, and you write on them A, B, C, D, and then you ask for this avatar. And again, you call out your avatar so they know who they are. For this avatar, which of these four do you think is going to work best? And then again, an emoji, let me know in the comments below. Don't DM me, don't email me. Let me know in the comments, because we want the engagement. And every time somebody engages on either of those two posts, we follow up with them. So they say, I like this title. And then we ask, is there any changes that you would have? So within the comments, you're adding more comments, adding more social proof, triggering more algorithms. And same thing for, oh, I like A. When you see the A, B, C, D artworks, I like A the best. Hey, a lot of people are saying C. What didn't you like about C? Or they say D. And you say, ah, that's unique. Tell me what you liked about it. Or if they go with the one that everybody else went with, you say, you let them know, hey, that's what a lot of people are saying, but I'm curious if C and another one of these had a baby, what would it be? Well, so whatever it is, you're adding more engagement. And this is a beginning of what's called a pre-launch to get the most amount of people knowing that you have it. They're behind it because it's now a movement. So there's one thing. And then the next thing is to get as many people to rate and review your podcast as possible. And that doesn't mean to pay for them. It doesn't mean to call your mom and just say, hey, rate and review my show. You have to do it this other way or else you won't trigger algorithms. Actually, you'll trigger the wrong algorithms that will get you shadow banned. So if you just get fake ratings and reviews, that basically means your mom never listened to you, but she still gave a review. The person has to follow your podcast and download your podcast and listen to your podcast. If they do those three things and they give you a rating review, then it counts. So that's why you do it this way. You call. This is going to sound crazy, Courtney. I don't mean to overwhelm anybody, but if you want real success, I would call 100 to 200 people. There's a couple of places that you could do this. You could go on your text messages on iPhone, where you do voice messages and you're like, Courtney, it's Adam. I just launched my podcast and my coach told me that I needed some ratings and reviews. Can you do me a favor? Can you just go listen to an episode or two of the podcast and then give an authentic review, written review of what you thought of the show, whether it's good or bad? Say, can you give me an authentic review of what you think of the show, whether it's good or bad? You're going to get a lot of people that are willing to do that. And because they're going to subscribe, download, and listen, that review now counts. It's now actually going to benefit you. And there's a reason why we want to talk about ratings and reviews. There's a lot of reasons why on Amazon, you love shopping on Amazon. You could do it in your underwear. You can go to 20 different stores, all in the same store, and you're able to save gas and it comes to you so you can be lazy. Those are the first three, but they're not the biggest reason why we love Amazon. I wouldn't shop on Amazon if the fourth thing didn't happen. The fourth thing is the ratings and reviews. So if I go and try to buy a product and it has a perfect 5-star rating, but only 7 people rated it, I'm not buying the product. I'm not going to try it. It's not going to feel like it's of any value. But if I get a 4-star rating and 20,000 people reviewed it, I'm likely to say, this is legit. I'm ready to buy it. So why would I buy a 4-star over 5-star? It's because of the social proofing. It's because I see lots of people. I don't think it's just the moms or the workers or the owners of the company themselves. I believe now that I have a large amount to pull from that I'm going to be getting good information. So that's one of the reasons why I love Amazon. And that's when people are looking for your podcast. Unfortunately, a good number of them actually do look at the ratings and reviews. I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people that if I go and start listening to a podcast and it only has, you know, less than 10 ratings and reviews, for example, I don't care if it's 5-star. I don't believe that it's going to be good enough for my time. But if I go and find one, even if it's a 4-star and they have 100 ratings and reviews, I'm probably going to say, yeah, this looks legit. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to be able to do what they do because humans are like lemmings or sheep. We follow other humans. We do what we see is working. Very few of us are pioneers. Most of us do what we know works. And the way that we find out if it works is written ratings and reviews. So if you want a good way to start to trigger algorithms, you'll do all of that, but also know that when you're getting the ratings or reviews, calling 100 or 200 of your friends or family to listen to an episode or two and give an authentic review, whether they like it or not, you're also getting downloads, subscribers, followers, and other traction that will trigger algorithms Just like with social media that we talked about, now the podcast playing platform says, if you build it, they will come. The podcast playing platform finally says, Courtney's doing something different. Let me try to split test them against more people.
I mean, let's just drop the mic. This is so good. It's so practical. And what I love about this is that it takes into account the psychology of our listener. We're humans. And so, yeah, we can try to game the system. We can try to do things to get our podcast in front of people. But most people, first of all, because they lack the understanding of how these things work, and they start a podcast out of ego. This would be a whole nother conversation where they're starting it because they want to be the seen as the success and the thought leader and the influencer, which, yeah, it can bring you that. But we got to serve first, and we're here to serve our listeners. Your podcast will get nowhere without listeners. That's the bottom line. So, Adam, I am really excited to dive even deeper into this, specifically around the launch, how we can trigger those algorithms to get you in the charts, to keep you in the charts. What does that look like? And we'll dive into that in the bonus episode. But I just have to say, thank you for dropping your wisdom here with us today and for sharing this. I mean, you've got such a depth of knowledge. This has been so, so valuable. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
If you loved what Adam shared inside this episode, then you are not going to want to miss the next one. Because after this interview, I asked Adam if he would unveil his 5-step process for triggering the Apple algorithms to put your show in front of more new listeners. And he agreed. So grab a pen and paper and head on over with us to that episode so we can help you make your business binge-worthy. As you might have heard me mention inside this episode, if you want to join me for our next live workshop where I'm going to show you how to avoid the biggest mistakes that cause most podcasts to fail within the first 12 months and literally walk you through the exact framework that we teach our students to launch their shows in the top 100 and convert more of their listeners to clients, just go to theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop. That's theeffortlesslife.co/podcast workshop.